Hello, Internet. This is Hugh and Spence calling, and welcome to the first in a long quest. It is Heat 1 of the Ultimate Jukebox Jury. Yes, welcome to the first in many, many shows that are going to lead us eventually to discover one fact. And that fact is, what is the greatest Eurovision Song Contest song of all time? It's what we're going to find out over the next weeks, months, and possibly up to a year here on the Jukebox Jury. It's called Ultimate Jukebox Jury for a reason. We're going to look back at the history of the Eurovision Song Contest. Myself and a mix of judges from a judging panel recruited from the great and the good of the Eurovision fandom around the continent. 55 years of songs to look back on. That's 58 winners, given the fun and games that we had in 1969 with France, the Netherlands, Spain, and the United Kingdom all being awarded the victory. To make the numbers easier, I'm going to get it up to 64. We're going to do that by two ways. The first one is that tiebreaker that we had in 1991. Both Sweden and France scored 146 points. Sweden, of course, took that. Carola with Captured by a Love Song. But we're going to give Amina from France one more chance. We're going to put her into the mix as well. And also five wild cards, which have been selected under consideration for many people of the Eurovision songs that are great but haven't quite made it to actually win the contest. That gives us 64 songs going into the white hot musical heat of the contest. There will be 16 rounds of four songs each. Three songs will be eliminated in every single round of Ultimate Jukebox Jury. One of them will stand. We're going to have 16 heats leading up to the middle of March, and at that point we'll be switching over to our coverage of the 2011 Song Contest. But after the Song Contest and in the summer, we'll be going through the semi-finals and the grand final. At the end of all that, probably about August or September next year, we will find out the ultimate song of the Eurovision Song Contest. But before then, we're going to be listening to everything, we're going to be talking, we're going to be discussing, we're going to be doing what Eurovision fans love to do, which is bitch about the contest, have our favourite memories brought over, pick over the coals, take off the meat off the carcass, and generally have a good time. A whole bundle of judges are going to be awaiting, they're going to be spinning out, we're going to have different judges in every show. The constant, of course, will be the music and myself. You can leave your comments, and I'm sure there will be many, www.escinsight.com. You can find us on Twitter, ESC Insight, or Facebook, facebook.com/ESC Insight. Right then, that's what's happening. Today's judges, starting off, the man who was one of the life and souls of the parties in Norway, and he's the man who gives ESC Insight a little bit of an academic air. It's Paul Jordan.
Hello.
Have you recovered from Oslo?
I have. I didn't drink too much because I couldn't afford it, but my credit card bill hasn't been opened, and it won't be opened until the end of the summer.
So there we go. Also joining Paul here for his first time as one of the judges, we have Colin McKnight. Hello, Colin.
Hello, Ewan.
Now, you've been a listener to the jukeboxes before. Now you're here in our lovely plush palatial surroundings.
Yes, that's right. Thank you.
It's audio. We can bluff.
Okay, yes, it's lovely. Thanks very much for inviting me.
So, the score, as always, is we're going to rate these songs as hit, miss, or maybe a hit gets 12 points, a miss gives it 0, and a maybe gives it 6. We have four songs coming up from 1990, from 1986, from 1992, and we're going to start with 2009. It's Fairy Tale by Alexander Rybak. It was the song for Norway in the 2009, and it is our first Ultimate Jukebox Jury entrant. There we have Alexander Rybak and Fairy Tale. Now, I know we talked about this, especially with you, Paul, when we were doing our Jukebox Jury special for Australia. We're judging the song, not the contest. So the fact that this went in and everybody knew that this was likely to be the winner and made the 2009 Song Contest a bit of an anticlimax, it's nothing to do with what we're judging here. We're judging purely the song. okay, and whether it is a worthy Eurovision Song Contest song and whether it's the best of all time. So we're looking for hit, miss, and maybe on the strength of the song, okay? So given that, Paul, and now you're giving me a big sulky face, what do we make of Fairy Tales in the Eurovision pantheon?
I still don't like it. But as you said, it's a good Eurovision song in terms of it's instant, it's catchy, happy, bouncy. He's a good-looking guy, probably appealed to both the gays and the girls. And yeah, it's insanely infectious. And I think that's what did it. Doesn't mean it's a good song, though.
I kind of disagree. I do like it. I do. I think I agree with what you said. It's catchy. It's fun. It's immediate. I think it's great for Eurovision. I think it's great for Eurovision to have a runaway winner like that every few years as well, you know, to get a bit of interest in it. So for me, yeah, it ticks all the right boxes.
Really. I mean, it's a nice light song, but it doesn't have a lot of bite for me. I mean, it sounds like a Hammer horror plot. I mean, what the lyrics are, I'm in love, even though it hurts. I don't care if I lose my mind. I'm already cursed. I mean, it really does sound like something you would hand to Peter Cushing and Christopher Lee back in the 50s. And it's light and it's fluffy and it's got a bit of oompa that you'd expect to have in a Eurovision song. There's a bit of violins for sort of, you know, a mix of both the Irish feel and the images of Eastern Europe coming in from where his parents grew up. It's a bit folksy. To me, looking back on it now, it does feel a bit Eurovision by numbers, but there is this lovely joy and enthusiasm in the way he performs. It's a very well-performed song, even though the song itself, I think, just falls a little bit short in terms of having a good, solid emotional core.
And also it was a success. It got to number 10 in the UK charts, which I thought was quite an achievement. I mean, this year, Germany, I thought their song was incredibly credible, but it limped in at number 30. So, yeah, it's very instant, and obviously it struck a chord to people around Europe. It was a massive hit, and I think that's good for the contest.
Yeah, and I agree with that. And I think the other thing is it shows us, perhaps here in the UK, what can happen when a country like Norway, who really have been going nowhere for the past few years, get behind their song and really support it. And really, I know you say it's not about the contest, but in the run-up to the contest, that support must have helped. And the same this year, I suppose, with Germany. So I think there's a lesson to be learned. But I think all the things that you said about the song there are absolutely correct, and I think those are all positives. It is. It's kind of anti-fairy tale, really, and I think people caught on to that.
Right then, so we go for hit, miss, or maybe on this one. Paul, let's turn to you first.
It's a maybe from me.
It's also going to be a maybe for me as well. It's nice, it's cute, and I can listen to it, but it's very easy for me to hit fast forward and skip over on the iPod.
It's a hit.
And it's a hit from... Why a hit for you? Why is it such a strong song for you, Colin?
Well, as I said, it ticks every box that I think a song that needs to win Eurovision these days should win. I think it's one of the strongest winners in recent years. I think possibly for the few years before it, the winners were a bit bland, a bit boring, and I think that it just brought a bit more life to the result of the contest. So for me, yeah, it just does exactly what I want a winner of Eurovision to do.
I love the image of Lordi being a little bit bland, but we will come on to them in a later show. Right then, so we have a maybe, and a hit for Alexander Rybak, giving him a score of 24. Right then, out of the blocks, that's a strong score, but of course we'd expect all of the songs here to do quite well, given that they are winners. Let's head over to Italy. We haven't seen them for a long time. Toto Cutugno was the winner in 1990 with Insem 1992.
I didn't like this at the time, I have to say, but I quite like it now, and I know that it's not the most popular Eurovision winner, but I think this was the last time that I was really surprised by the winner, and I wish that could happen these days, but it doesn't seem to do. I like the way it starts quite quietly, builds up, and I quite like Toto Cutugno as a singer. I like the way it builds into that kind of crashing chorus, and I think the chorus is actually really strong, and I think it's one of the few... Well, it's one of the winning songs that's actually stood the test of time. take the lyrics away from it, obviously the subject matter is completely irrelevant now. But I think in terms of a tune, it's did quite well.
I have a soft spot for this song purely because it meant that Italy could host in 1991. And that was just memorable, shall we say. For those of you who are new to Eurovision history, do find out how exciting the 1991 Eurovision Song Contest actually was. But we're not judging the contest, we're judging the song here. And I find this song doesn't have enough variance for me. You know, you're saying that it builds up to the crashing chorus, there's this lovely introduction. The problem is, they seem to be doing all of that in second gear. You know, at the bottom of second gear, at the top of second gear, it never takes off, it never slows down. There's no feeling of life in this song for me. It's just there.
I quite like it as well. I mean, it's, you know, it's nothing special, but I mean, it's perfectly listenable. And if it's on the radio, you'd sing along to it. Not that it would be on the radio, but it's quite anthemic. And yeah, I think it's quite nice. I mean, the backing singers could have dressed up, though. I mean, there was one of them in a shell suit. I mean, I know it was 1990, but there was another great moment when he won, and he, I think he poured water over himself and his hair dye ran. It was all down his back. So it was very, you know, shambolic, and that adds to the appeal for me. I quite like it.
I think it's a maybe. As I say, I quite like the song. It certainly doesn't stand out amongst the winners for me as being up there near the top. But as Paul said, I find it quite listenable as well. So yeah, it's a maybe from me.
It's a maybe from me as well. I don't think it should have won. I prefer France or Yugoslavia that year to have won, but it's okay. Perfectly pleasant.
For me, it's a miss. It just doesn't get going. And anthemic is all well and good if it's something you can get behind. And the subject matter, oh, let's get behind the European Union in 1992. No. And even if it wasn't, even if it was singing about in Sem, you know, a nice film with Tony Scott doing the directing, it just, you know, it's stuck in slow march. So it is a miss for me, unfortunately, on that one. So scoring at 12 points, we have a Toto's effort for 1990 and Italy. Right then, song number three. Let's go back a little bit from Italy. Let's go back to Belgium in 1986. Sandra Kim with Belgium's only victory in the song contest. So she's flying the flag here for the country with J'aime la vie. It just puts me in mind of the sort of songs you would get on things like The Mysterious Cities of Gold or Around the World with Willy Fogg. This lovely, happy, yay! Do we agree?
I like this. I'm afraid it might be a bit out of step here, but I'm a bit nostalgic about when I was from the 1980s because that was the time when I first started getting interested. But regardless of that, I like the song. I think in a contest that was quite slow, really, a lot of slow songs followed that in the final shake-up. And it really stood out. It's fun. She's so energetic. And if anyone hasn't seen this, please click on YouTube and see her with her pink bow tie and white shoulder pads. How could that not have won? So, yes, I like that one very much.
Yeah. Probably very energetic because at the point, she was only 13. And this came out after the contest, and everybody just, and I think was it Yugoslavia that went, oh, you can't have that, she has to be banned, and then we would win. And, you know, and now we have the age rule. Now you have to be 16 in the performance. But the youngest winner of Eurovision, and I have to say, this sounds exactly like Sweden's entry to junior Eurovision last year. It's not surprising, given the age. Paul. Oh dear. Okay, Paul.
To be fair, I can see how it won. You know, as Colin said, you know, it's up tempo. It came, she's quite cute. It came along at the right time, but I just find it so annoying. I would describe it as vile. I hate the song. I hate her voice. And I just think it's fitting for the 80s, the decade that taste forgot. I hate it.
Indeed, yes. I like ice cream. I like my Walkman. I like dancing. What fantastic lyrics.
But surely that's what a 13-year-old should be singing about. And the rules at the time were that, you know, teenagers could take part. And surely that is what we don't want them singing like that little creature that appeared for France a couple of years later. You know, I just think that was perfect for her. And Well, why not sing about ice cream? 13-year-olds have to have someone to look up to too, don't they? So why not?
Indeed. And I have to say, congrats to Sandra Kim. She still sings the song now, but she has changed the lyrics slightly. And they now go, J'aime la vie, do you like life every day? Me neither. So there we go. But, you know, again, Belgium's only victory. Good song. It does typify the 80s. I mean, this isn't sort of, if you think back to things like Debbie Gibson and Tiffany, this is just straight cookie cutter out the charts. Very modern touch at that time. For me, this ranks as a maybe on this one. The lyrics are even lighter and fluffier than Alexander's. And yeah, okay, she's 13, but that's not the point. You know, how old was Mozart? Imagine if Mozart had written his operas about... Mozart didn't write operas. Imagine if Mozart wrote operas when he was 13. No, I'll stop there and just go maybe and pass the microphone to Paul.
It's a miss from me.
Ah.
Yeah, I mean... Okay, yeah, the lyrics aren't great, but hey, it's Eurovision. It's not the home of great lyrics. But I don't like it. I just find the whole thing a bit creepy.
It's a hit for me. I'm supporting it. So 12 points from me.
There we go. Scoring 18 points there. We have Sandra Kim's J'aime la vie. And we're going to head in now to our final song. It's what I call the triplet song. It was the third of Johnny Logan's. It is, of course, Ireland's 1992 entry, Why Me by Linda Martin. I wanna
I hate that. I absolutely cannot stand that.
But it's Ireland, it's Eurovision, you can't put that down.
Well,
yes, you can.
I'll tell you first of all why I don't like the song. I don't like the song because I think it's boring. I think she's okay, but there's nothing remarkable about it. When I watch it back, the performance is just so bland that I can't quite see why anyone would put it anywhere near the top of the list. And the other reason why I hate that is that I think people talk about how Turkey and Greece can just turn up these days and get through to the final. I think in 1992, Ireland could have sent a team of football supporters blowing into their vuvuzelas and put Johnny Logan's name to it and it would have won. But regardless of that, I just can't stand the song.
And when you listen to the lyrics, it's the lyrics that get me. They're sung very well. The arrangement's not bad. It's a very brave choice to spend 35 seconds on your introduction at Eurovision. I don't think you would get away with nowadays. Yet you listen to this song and it's just this woman going, you know, there's a man next to me. Why does he love me? And I'm thinking, Johnny Logan wrote this song. Now we know what sort of woman Johnny Logan would like in his life. And it is not Joan Holloway. So, no, the song just doesn't fit in with my sensibilities, for want of a better description.
I think there's a 35 second intro because there's virtually nothing to say. She's said it all by the second line, really, and I think that's probably the reason for the long intro.
I mean, it's like an anthem for people with low self-esteem, isn't it? I mean, like, she's terrified of losing this guy. She doesn't know why he's in love with her. I mean, she's that unattractive, and it's a bit odd. I'd be terrified if someone lay awake and watched me sleeping and then sang about it. Freak. But saying that, I think she's a fantastic singer and it was given a good performance. I don't think it's a great song, but like Michael Ball's entry that year, bit of an average song, but one hell of a performance. And I think that's probably what won it for them.
So maybe the secret for the BBC is to get Johnny Logan to write a song and have Michael Ball sing it that year. But no. Again, it's not bad, but it's not great either. Okay, yes, it did start off this whole Irish Renaissance, but I suspect that factors helped the song, such as there wasn't a huge number of songs sung in English that would give it that appeal, so that gave it a boost. You know, I swither on this one whether it's a miss or a maybe. But I'm going to say a miss on this one because the lyrics don't stand up anymore. It's such a long introduction and it was coasting, as you say, Colin. So for me, this is going to be a miss.
I'm not swithering at all. It's a miss.
I'm going to say it's a maybe just because I think she's a good singer.
So there we go. We have our four songs all completed. In fourth place, Linda Martin, Ireland, 1992, Why Me, scoring just the 6 points from the Maybe from Paul. In third place, Italy, 1990, and Toasters in Sem, 1992, with 12. Second place, we have J'aime la Vie by Sandra Kim, doing far better than I thought she was going to be honest, with 18 points there. But our winner in the first round of Ultimate Jukebox Jury, almost a foregone conclusion, rather like it was in 2009, but I think we have to say out of the bat, this is the best Eurovision song, Alexander Rybak's Fairy Tales. I think that's a fair winner, wouldn't you say, guys?
Yes, I think so. I think certainly out of the four songs that we've heard, that is the most deserving winner today.
Oh, I just hope it doesn't win the whole thing.
So there we are, Paul, one of our completely neutral judges, with no malice or forethought whatsoever. Alexander will go through to the semi-finals. He's our first one. You'll be able to see that result with the full breakdown on our judges voting as well back on the website, www.escinsight.com, where you can leave your comments. Do you agree with us as the judges or not? Then let us know. We'll have another jury and we will have another four songs next week. But for now, thank you to Paul.
Thank you.
Thank you to Colin.
Thank you.
And thank you all out there for listening. And yes, we still have electrical guitars.